Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It is 7:48 on this Friday morning. I'm John Reed, and you're listening to News Radio WRVA. The news breaking in the last hour that the husband of Queen Elizabeth II, the ruling monarch of Great Britain, has passed away at Windsor Castle at the age of 99. And several times over the last year, we've spoken to my friend Hugh Shakeshaft, who's an advisor to a number of members of Parliament, and at one point worked closely with Prince Philip. And I talked to Hugh just a few minutes ago and said, would you mind coming on and giving us your reaction? Good morning to you. Tell me what you're thinking, Hugh.
Very sad, John, in fact. Very, very sad.
Mm-hmm.
He was a great man. I mean, he will have inspired a lot of people around the world and a lot of the young in the UK through his Duke of Edinburgh Award scheme, which he created to give people a sense of leadership, a sense of, you know, esprit de corps, and just to generally challenge kids from right across the socio-economic spectrum in the UK. There will be a lot of very, very sad people today. Mm-hmm. I haven't had a chance to speak to anybody in Parliament yet, but as you know, Boris Johnson has already made an announcement following what the palace's announcement. So protocol was absolutely followed, but it will be very, very sad because I'm not sure whether he will be able to be laid in state for the people to say goodbye to him, you know, to file past.
COVID, I hadn't considered that.
Would that be the normal process, where would he normally
lay in state if things were
Actually, Westminster Hall, which you've walked through, the 1,000-year-old, oldest part of the Houses of Parliament, the big hall, where everybody, the Queen will lay in state there, Queen Mother lay in state there, and her husband, King George VI, who was Bertie in the King's Speech.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, I'm just trying to remember that, you know, the happy times and what an interesting man he was to deal with and work with and just to meet. I mean, I took a number of people there to meet him on different occasions with the Grenadier Guards, Colonels from Charity, and they were just mesmerized by him. He was, even in 2013, he was massively charismatic, massively charismatic.
Now, he was a little gruff, wasn't he? Was he, for someone who played the role of, what's the appropriate title, Hugh?
The Royal Consort. Yeah, okay. The Royal Consort. He's the longest-serving Royal Consort in history. As you know, the Queen ascended the throne in 1952. Mm-hmm. They got married in 1947.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, for all the Queen's stoicism, I can imagine for anybody to have been with somebody 70-odd years is extraordinary.
Mm-hmm. When we look at that, I don't want to turn this into a conversation of old generation versus new generation, but my assessment watching from a distance has been that this man married into the family, took on this role, which for a male, I think would be difficult, especially a male with an ego who was kind of a macho guy.
A very highly decorated and brave Royal Naval officer.
Mm-hmm. It would be difficult to be second to the Queen, have to walk behind her and... you get your meals catered.
There was no role for him. So he created a role for himself. Mm-hmm. He always supported the Queen, mm-hmm. but that's why he did things like he created the Duke of Edinburgh's, you know, award scheme. He supported her totally, but also created a little niche for himself. He modernized the royal household, and trust me, he came up against a lot of resistance early on.
With that modernization,
modernization, mm-hmm. you know, because the people who surround the Queen or the monarch run the show, and they didn't like this, you know, parvenu and you know, a foreign prince coming in and you know, shaking the whole thing up. Mm-hmm. But he did a great job, you know. And okay, yes, there were those. He had his critics for his direct manner, shall we say?
Right.
But I found him charming. Direct and hilarious.
Do you have any specific memory that jumped out to you when you found out that he passed this morning that you can share with us? I know you said that you were saving some stories till after he passed. You mentioned that just the last time we talked, but anything jump out?
The first one that came to me was the very first time that we met him was in Wellington Barracks across the way from Buckingham Palace. It's where the Guards regiments march out when they change the guard mm-hmm. To march into Buckingham Palace. It was at the Grenadier Guards Colonel's Fund, and we had a supper, and it was very moving because we were raising funds for the Colonel's Fund, and I brought a number of people in, and I met the mother of only the 14th man in the history of the regiment to win the Victoria Cross. Sadly, he was 21 and was awarded it posthumously. Mm-hmm. But before that, Philip showed the deference and everything else. And then he came to me and he said, "So what are you doing for the Grenadier Guards Fund?" And I said, initially I've been organizing the cycle ride from Wellington Barracks to Waterloo in Belgium to raise funds. He said, "Oh, yes." And I remember His equerry, Grant Baker, leant over and said, "Oh, this is Hugh Shakeshaft, sir." He goes, "Oh, right, how are you?" He said, "I hear you're a bit of a one for getting things done." And I said, "Yes." He said, "What are you doing now?" And I said, "I'm raising funds, sir. I'm bringing friends in to make donations." And he looked at the people with me and he went, "Ah, I see. Let me give you some advice." I said, "What's that, sir?" And he said, "Quickest way to lose your friends is try to squeeze money out of them." And the place erupted. And then he flitted off to the next people. Do you know what I mean? So, yes, he was really funny. And he had this real twinkle in his eye mm-hmm. when he said it.
Interesting.
And I thought, yeah.
Interesting, you know? To have those connections. Well, listen, Hugh, we may talk again over the next few days as the announcements are made about the inevitable funeral here, and I appreciate you getting up early with us and giving us your first reaction. And you and I will text over the weekend.
I'd be delighted,
really,
John.
Thank you
for not mentioning those two disgraceful specimens who now, I hope, are hanging their head in shame.
Here and I wonder whether they're going. Well, they'll go back for the funeral, don't you think?
Oh, I don't know how welcome they'd be, to be honest.
Yeah,
I mean,
I
protocol will dictate that Harry should be there, but I bet you she has never. Meghan will not have the nerve to go.
Oof, boy!
See, I'm really angry over those.
I don't blame
right
you.
Now.
And I tell you, this is where even people who, you know, because I can imagine my emails now. Why are you spending all this time talking about the royal family? We're Americans. We're not supposed to care about that. But the people who love drama, oh boy, get buckle up because the drama's just beginning.
Oh yeah.
This is going to be bigger than your favorite soap opera, I think. Hugh, I got to run. I really appreciate the chance to
talk
to
you
on this sad day.
Thanks for giving me the chance to come on.